Father, we do come to you with a sense of need and a sense of lack, and we desire that you would come and teach us now through your holy word. We ask that you would fill us with the knowledge of your will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, and not just so that we can have our heads filled with information, but so that we might live lives that are fully pleasing to you, that through hearing your word and assimilating that word, believing it and embracing it and loving the message that comes from you, we would bear fruit in every good work, that we would continue to increase in the knowledge of who you are, and that you would strengthen us with all power according to your glorious might for all steadfastness and patience, and that we could do this with joy. And so, Father, come now and speak to us by your Spirit and through your word. And we pray this for the glory of Jesus Christ. Amen. Easier said than done, right? Count it all joy when you meet with various trials. Know that God is going to use the bad things in your life to strengthen your faith. Never give in. Never give up. Remain steadfast no matter what happens. Easier said than done. And James would say, amen, you're right. This is going to be hard. And you're thinking, perhaps, you know, if only I knew what God was doing. You know, this difficulty that has come into my life, this trial, this trouble, if I only knew what God was doing, if I only knew the purpose for this, or what I'm supposed to do now, it would be so much easier for me to be joyful and confident in the midst of these trials and troubles. And James anticipates what you're thinking. And so he now says, chapter 1, verse 5, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways. James is now meeting that objection that we all raise from time to time. If only I knew what was going on. If only I could understand what God was doing. If only I knew the reason for these heartbreaking trials that have come into my life. But James had heard Jesus give the solution so many times. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. This morning, three thoughts about prayer when we find ourselves perplexed about our trials and difficulties in life. First of all, why pray? And then what reason do you and I have to think that God's ever going to answer our prayers? And then finally, how does God want us to come to him in prayer? First of all, why pray? And James says, you and I pray because we're in need. There is some lack. There is some problem. There is some need that we have become conscious of. Notice where we ended last Sunday with verse 4. Here's God's will for you, that steadfastness would have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. It's a picture of spiritual maturity, lacking in nothing. But now James says, but if you do lack something, if you do have this sense of need, than ask God. Abraham Lincoln once said, "I've been driven many times upon my knees by the overwhelming conviction that I had nowhere else to go. My own wisdom and that of all about me seemed insufficient." Have you ever gotten to that point in your own life? I have nowhere else to go but to God in prayer. James says, if any of you lacks, and just stopping there for a moment, if any of you lacks anything, if anyone feels this emptiness, if anyone feels this inability, if anyone feels the demands of life are just too much, then ask. Jesus said, if you lack the basic necessities of life, ask. Give us this day our daily bread. If any of you lack assurance or peace of mind because of your sins, ask. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. If you find the daily struggle just too much and it's got you frightened and you don't know if you're going to be able to deal with everything that comes during the day, if you sense that lack, then ask. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. If you lack anything, ask. Later in the book, James will say those words that are very familiar: you have not because you ask not. And so why not ask? But the specific object here in the context is us asking for wisdom. The general principle is that any lack that we find, we can go to God. Anything that's agreeable to his will, we can go into his presence and ask. But in the context, he's talking about wisdom. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God. And it's not just wisdom in general, but the wisdom that we need so that we can know the answers to our pressing questions. Why do bad things happen to good people? Why do troubles come into my life? Why are bad things happening to me when I'm really doing the best that I can? Why this pandemic? Why all of this unrest in our country? Why did I lose my job? Why did my health break down when I can least afford it? What does God want me to do? Those are our questions that go through our minds. What does God want me to do? Well, we always go to the Bible and we find here that God has already told us what to do. He said, count it all joy. I want you to be joyful no matter what. I want you to count all of that trouble that you run into as a reason for joy. I want you to trust me like all of those men and women in Hebrews 11, people that were confronted with some kind of a difficulty, a threat, some challenge to their faith, and yet they believed God, and they remained steadfast in their belief and in their obedience to God. Easier said than done, right? I know that's what the Bible says, but I don't know if I can do all of that. I just don't know what to do. James says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God. Now, last week we saw the need for knowledge. Verse 2, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know. You're able to do that, counting it all joy in the midst of trials, because you know certain things. You've got the knowledge of God's truth, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And so you need to know who God is and what God has said that he will do for you. Today we need to see that you have to take that knowledge of what God has revealed and through wisdom apply it to your own specific situation in life. God wants you to take all the little bits of information that you find in the Bible and put them together in such a way that you will know what to do in any given situation. It's like having a stack of wood that's on the floor, and you're wanting to make a chair. And you've got all of the material, and you've got the picture of a chair in your head. You know what you want it to look like, and here's all the raw material laying there. You have to take the wood, you have to cut it, you have to shape it, you have to piece it together, and you have to do it in such a way that you get a chair and that you're able to sit in it. The Bible gives you all the material and instruction that you need for life. Count it all joy. See that trials are testing your faith. Remain steadfast. Recognize that God is sovereign. Things don't happen by accident. God is a good and gracious Father. God is all wise. He's all powerful. These are the things you need to know. This is the material. But what James is telling us is you have to take all of that material now and apply it, work with it, so that it guides you in your daily life. You know, something goes wrong. Disappointment. There's some criticism. Health problems, an accident, financial problems, marriage problems, a difficult child or an obnoxious neighbor. And you're thinking, why me? Why did they have to move in here next to me? Wisdom will help you to stop and remember that none of this happened by chance. I mean, things don't just happen. There is a sovereign God, and he's working through his providence to cause all things to work together in some mysterious way, but doing it for our good and for the glory of Christ. And wisdom will help you to see that as God is doing this, he's not trying to destroy you or make your life miserable, but that he loves you and that he has some good purpose for what he is doing. And this is the only way that you're going to learn what God wants you to learn. Wisdom will show you how all of this stress and trouble can lead you on to maturity. Wisdom will enable you to talk to yourself. Self, be still. Remember, the Lord is on your side. Bear patiently the cross of grief or pain. Leave it to God to order and provide. And so be still, self. Your best friend, your heavenly friend, through thorny ways, is leading you on to a joyful end. The path to experiencing James chapter 1, verse 2, count it all joy, is to obey verse 5. If you lack the wisdom to know what's going on, ask God. Now, what reason do we have to think that God's going to answer our prayers? James says, you and I pray because of who God is. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach. Ask God. I mean, who better to ask? God, our Father, the Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, immortal, invisible, God only wise. Is there any reason why our Father in heaven would not want to give us wisdom and joy? James says, ask God who gives. James is very graphic in the way that he phrases this in the Greek that he's writing, but he says, ask the giving God. Ask the God whose very nature it is to give. That's who God is. He gives. God so loved the world that he gave. It's all through the Bible. Romans 8, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. How will he not also with him graciously give us all things? We're to pray for wisdom. And God promises that he will give in answer to our prayer. But sometimes God will give us the wisdom that we need as we pray. You ever had that experience? I don't know what to do. I think I better pray about this. As you begin to pray, all of a sudden a bunch of clarity comes to your mind and you're beginning to see things like you've never seen them before, and your desires, the emotions within you are getting sanctified and purified, and it's in the midst of the prayer, and you may not have even gotten to the very issue that you wanted to present to God, but all of a sudden everything becomes clear. Ask God who gives. Ask God who gives generously. God longs to fill you with wisdom and with joy. Colossians chapter 1, beginning at verse 9. I was impressed thinking about Paul's prayer here. How many themes match up exactly with what James is saying? As James says to pray for wisdom, and it's that practical kind of wisdom, so we'll know how to live. But here's Paul praying for the same thing and for the very same purpose. Paul says, and so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power, according to his glorious might, for all endurance or steadfastness, it's the same word, and patience, and to do all of that with joy. Ask God who gives generously. He will fill you with his wisdom. Ask God who gives to all. Doesn't matter who you are, where you are in life. You're invited to ask, rich or poor. No matter how much money you have or don't have, James is going to pick this up in verses 9 through 11. The rich and the poor, they both need wisdom in how to handle their money. No matter your age, little children are invited to come into God's presence and to ask God for the things they need. Young people going off to college, those that are getting ready to be married. If you lack wisdom, ask. Those going through that last season of life can ask God for wisdom, and God will hear. Real wisdom is needed in order to die well. You don't want doubts and double-mindedness and regrets to be haunting you as you're lying there in that last season of your life about to die. And then no matter how long you've been a Christian or how mature you are, or you think that you are, or you're somebody who's just barely making it in life, God says he gives to all. And all you have to do is ask. Ask God who gives without reproach. What a wonderful encouragement. Why don't we ask sometimes? Well, I asked yesterday. You know, he's going to get tired of hearing me. Always come with the same prayer. You know, God will not shame you for asking. He will not scold you for coming back day after day, month after month, with the same prayer, asking for wisdom. God never wants you to feel bad that you have to come and ask again. God loves to hear you ask, and God loves to give in response to your asking. And then ask God, who promises that you will get. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. It's God's character to freely give what his children need. He's a loving heavenly Father. It's God's promise to you to give you what you need. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and all of those mysteries will be opened to you. Now, finally and briefly, how are we to ask? We're to ask in faith. Verse 6, but let him ask in faith with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. It struck me this week as I was studying through this passage that James only spends one verse talking about asking. But now he spends three verses warning us, don't doubt. Now, why is that? I think that James understands how our minds and hearts work. When trials and troubles come, difficulties, disappointments, what happens? We become anxious. We begin to worry. We begin to doubt everything. You know, does God know what's going on in my life? How can he let this go on? Does God even know? Does God care? Does God love me? He loves me, he loves me not. He loves me. You know, it's the double-minded man. You know, something bad has come into my life. God really doesn't like me that much, and so he's going to make my life difficult. And another day, you know, oh, God does love me. Our minds get filled with doubts, worry. You know, is God able to help me? This problem is so difficult. Is God willing to help me? And so it's especially in times of trouble and challenges and difficulties that we need to guard ourselves against doubting God's good and gracious character. Don't doubt your lack or need. You know, you can be honest about that. I mean, God loves to hear you come into his presence and say, I lack. I don't know what to do here. Father God in heaven, I just have no idea what to do. I don't understand this. So don't doubt about your lack or need or that God wants to hear that. Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. James says, if any of you lack, let him ask. Don't doubt God's ability to give just what you need. God can make your mind work better. God can clear up what is dark and mysterious. Don't doubt God's willingness to give. He loves you and he's working every day in your life for your good. He wants to fill you with wisdom so that you will be filled with joy and with faith and steadfastness. Now, if ever there was a year and season in which you and I need to hear this message, it's 2020. This whole year has been filled with one trial, challenge after another, just one disappointment after another. So many ways that, you know, none of us have ever experienced before. And, you know, we still have 3 months to go. We are only three-fourths of the way through this year, right? And there's no promise that 2021 is going to be better. I keep hearing people say, there's a light at the end of the tunnel. This year's going to end. Next year's going to be great. You know, there's no guarantee of that. Our country is in real trouble. I appreciated DB's prayer, praying for all of the different struggles that we're having as a nation. And it's not just in terms of politics. I mean, to set all of that aside, there's a whole mood of anarchy and rebellion and disrespect against every form of authority. Our church is at a major turning point in looking for a new senior pastor. 2021 is going to be the 50th anniversary of Church Creek Presbyterian. And I'm only the third pastor to have served here in 50 years. You are going to need wisdom in choosing the next man who will unfold God's word for you and lead you as a church. The whole planet is experiencing this pandemic and the virus and the fear and the anger and the confusion that goes along with it. Nobody knows what's going on. Nobody knows. You know, every report comes out, there's a contradictory one somewhere else. And that just leads to the fear and to the anger. And it's not just in this country, it's throughout the entire world. And each of us is affected by all of this, but in different ways. One person becomes fearful and worried. Another person becomes angry. What God may be saying through all of this to one person may not be what he's saying to you. And so each of us, more than ever, must embrace the Bible's message to us this morning. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all. And it will be given to him. Let's pray. Father, we come and we do just what we have been instructed to do. We ask you for wisdom. We thank you for your word and for the unfolding of your word and the ability for us to think about it and to go home and to check and see if what the pastor said is correct and to read other sources on what's going on in this passage. But we thank you that we have your word and that it is spoken to us today. We have the information and we have the material to work with, but we need wisdom. We need the presence and the power of your Holy Spirit to see how this message is going to apply to our life, my life, and how it affects me today and tomorrow and the next day. And so we do ask that you would fill us with all of that divine wisdom that we have need of. And we do so in faith, believing your promise that it will be given to us. And we pray this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our last hymn is, "We Praise You, O God, Our Redeemer and Creator." It's a joyful hymn that enables us to think of God's presence with us. Let's stand together. It's hymn number 97 in your hymnal, but the words are in your bulletin.